Welcome to Scaling Wellness, the podcast that will give you all the tools you need to grow your wellness business and thrive in the online space. I'm your host, Caroline Kopp, Pilates teacher and health coach, turned business mentor for wellness experts, teachers and coaches just like you. This is the podcast where we uncover the strategies, stories and tools to help you to scale your wellness business, build impactful digital products and create the time, money and freedom that you crave. If you're ready to grow your online presence, make a bigger impact with your clients and in the wellness industry, and uncap your revenue, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. And welcome back to another episode of Scaling Wellness. And today I have the absolute pleasure, genuine pleasure, to be joined by one of my clients, Charlotte Murray. Now, Charlotte and I have been working together for probably about a year, maybe a little bit less. And Charlotte's going to join us today and tell us all about her experience of us working together, but also how her business has evolved into the online space in 2025. And also, most excitingly, what's going to come for her in 2026. So, Charlotte, welcome. It's really nice to have you here.
Hi, Caroline. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm an avid fan. So, you know, it's really nice to be here myself.
Oh, that's so good. I'm so pleased. I love when I hear that people are actually listening to it, because from the podcaster's perspective, you don't get a lot of feedback with the podcast. But I'm regularly told that people are listening, so I'm going to keep doing it. So let's start right at the beginning. So take me back to what your background is, where you've come from, what you do. Let's just kind of do a general introduction about who is Charlotte Murray?
Okay, so hi, I'm Charlotte. Right now, I am a Pilates teacher and a face yoga teacher. My background is in retail, corporate retail buying. And I was in retail for years, and all the way through, I knew there was something else. Like a lot of people, I think, you know, realized there must be something else out there. You become a little bit disillusioned sometimes with the corporate world. And after I had kids, that's when I discovered Pilates postnatally. And I just thought, wow, this is brilliant. I want to train to become a Pilates teacher. I did. I then managed to leave my job in the corporate world. It was actually lockdown, so I ended up not working for that period of lockdown, because we went into lockdown on the day before my Pilates final exam, which wasn't great, but it meant that I was there, you know, homeschooling the kids. And then that kicked off just after that first lockdown. I qualified to teach Pilates. Wow. I now specialise as a low back pain teacher. And as I was, you know, teaching Pilates, I, on Instagram, like a lot of people do, follow a lot of other Pilates teachers. And through that, there was one lady who I noticed she was doing face yoga. And I just watched her transform. Over the weeks and months, I saw her face just open up, lift. And I just thought, oh, that's interesting. And I've seen this happening over time. She wasn't trying to sell anything, you know. and it just, I don't know, it sparked something in me, because I, as a busy mum, my kids are now 11 and 8. So I've got to that stage where I'm starting to get a bit of time back for myself. Mm. And you get to a point where I was looking in the mirror and I thought, why do I look like I'm so grumpy? Why do I look like I'm frowning? And I wasn't frowning. It's just the way my face had become from the years of staring at spreadsheets, frowning at the screen, which is what that would be my habit. Doing all the time. And, you know, they say your face sticks like it. It's actually, they're called mimic lines. And, you know, over time we do create lines, wrinkles, where our face has been following the same pattern. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. I want to know more. And I did my research, found a brilliant, brilliant course, which really focused on the anatomy and the underlying structures of the face, nice. Which I knew nothing about. You know, I know all about the anatomy of the body from, you know, the neck down. As a Pilates teacher, I have to know that. And it's really important for the quality of movement that people can get, that your teacher understands human anatomy. And it's exactly the same going upwards. So yeah, I did the teacher training course, and it was a bit of a whim, because I'd never really heard of face yoga, didn't know what it was. I'd seen all these funny little videos of people wiggling their faces around on social media and just kind of thought, is this for real? I don't really know. But, you know, like I said, I did my research. The course I did was absolutely excellent. And learning all about the muscles of the face and how they work together is very different to how the body works. So if you want to work the muscles of the face, you need to create your own resistance. And so we do that using our hands to create a bit of stretch, release, and then work the muscles to build the volume and so on. So that's how I found Face Yoga. I decided to just go for it and do this teacher training course, and I qualified back in 2022.
Okay.
And still, I teach Pilates still. That's kind of my day job, if you like. The Face Yoga almost became behind the scenes, if you like.
Yeah.
I was doing it and I was teaching it, and I was teaching workshops to my friends.
Yeah.
Getting some really brilliant feedback. I launched an online course. So I knew it worked because I'd done the course myself. I had, seen the transformation in my own face. So if you want to have a look, you can go to my Instagram. Authentic.
Yeah, we'll pop the notes in there. We'll pop it in the show notes.
And you can see on there, there's a before and after, which I've pinned at the top. Okay. And that's me after consistently, doing Face Yoga, working the muscles, releasing the tension. And I just thought, this works. I want to bring this to other people.
Yeah, I love that. And I know that we've had lots of chats about the Face Yoga, not just from the business perspective, but also from the intrigue of the other women in the groups that we've been in together.
Yeah.
That there's, as soon as you start talking about it, people's ears prick up, don't they? It's like, I know we had those conversations where it's like, oh, really? This is a thing? I didn't really know it existed, let alone was, it could have such remarkable results. But we're going to come back to Face Yoga, because I worked with you for probably 6 months before I even knew that you had the Face Yoga element to your business. So it was quite a successful, we're going to call it side hustle, that you'd actually had in the background that you hadn't mentioned. And I remember it was on our one-to-one session where you were like, oh, by the way, I've got this course that I've launched and it's actually sold quite a few. And so then we went down that rabbit hole. But before that, so before we went into working on the Face Yoga business, what happened? Because you started off working in the DCC, didn't you? What brought that on, and why did you decide to join, and what kind of happened there?
So with my Pilates offer, I have an on-demand platform, which we'll, we can talk about what it's called, whether on-demand is a good name or not. But I have an on-demand platform where it's to encourage originally it's to encourage my group clients, my group class clients in person, to get more movement throughout their week, because often people can only make it to one session in the week and they want a bit more. So it's another way for them to work with me and get as many sessions as they want into their week, as many as they can fit in. So I'd created this platform, but it was very clunky. I would have to physically email out at the end of the month. They could only join on the first of the month, and they would then finish at the end of the month. And if they joined halfway through, they'd get half a month, and it was just so manual. It's taking up all of my time. So there was an element of wanting to understand how I could change that to make it more automated. Yeah. To get behind the tech, which is a big thing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But also, I really wanted to be able to create something scalable. And for me, it was trying to marry together my expertise in Pilates, in back pain, with what I enjoy, which is strength training. Having been in the gym, heard so many people saying, oh, my back, I'm a bit worried about doing this. I don't want to exacerbate anything. I don't want to cause any problems. And, where the gym I go to is brilliant. You see, they really look after your form. So you know that you're doing things right, but there's definitely ways that Pilates can help and really help to give people perhaps a little bit more range of movement into a certain lift or, where we can support ourselves. And I thought this could be great. When I joined the DCC, that was in the back of my mind to create a course like that. And I I did go for it, and I pushed it, and I worked with one of the PTs so that I could understand what they're looking for, just as much as I could understand what I'm looking for in somebody, what is important in a certain move. I learned things that I didn't already know myself, which was brilliant, and that's helped me. And I've brought that into my Pilates, but I don't think my messaging was perhaps quite right. And I also don't think maybe I gave it enough time, knowing what I know now. So I launched a course, Pilates for Strength Trainers with Back Pain. And I had people on my waiting list. I think I got maybe 9 people on my waiting list. It wasn't loads. And I didn't get anybody signing up to my waiting list.
Yeah.
But I can see now, looking back, that was okay. I think talking about it more, I expected, you know, to come out and then everyone was just going to be like, yeah, I'll rush in and I'll get that, I'll buy that straight away. I'll, you know, sign me up. But I can see now that there's more to it. I think just perhaps my heart wasn't in it as well. 100%.
I think sometimes these things they just happen for a reason, don't they? It was an interesting time because I can remember back when you were going through this, you were very, very good at kind of taking action and moving quickly. You know, I think that I tend to attract people like that. I think I'm quite like that, quite good at just getting on with it and moving. But what I think, in hindsight, it was almost like, right, this is an idea, let's go with that. And yeah, I think you're right. I think that knowing what we know now, having worked more deeply with you in the accelerator, I think it does come down to that kind of potentially the passion piece, potentially like, you know, when you really want to sell something, you can, but it's maybe that there was a resistance there to going out there and doing it. I think there were a few things, but I think ultimately the outcome was that you got out there, you had a go, you put yourself out there, you learnt loads, and it didn't work in terms of actually creating a course. But I think that's often the process. Do you feel like that was a good learning experience?
Definitely. And I still use what I've learned in the DCC now. So I've got so many ideas bubbling in the back of my head that I can pull from everything that I've learned in the DCC to then take that forward in another iteration. And those ideas are there. I've used it for my face yoga as well. So, you know, like you're saying earlier, I hadn't really mentioned face yoga to you.
No.
Until the end.
It was our last session, wasn't it?
We had this last session and I had this little moment of clarity that maybe, you know, I was sitting on something quite big here. And if I didn't make something of it now, then I possibly never would. So I sort of blurted it all out to you. You're like, whoa, hang on a minute. What you're telling me is you've got this, and this. We need to make something of it. So and I think maybe so what happened? Let me explain. What happened was I went about things a little bit backwards. Now that having done the DCC, I understand there's a process behind this course creation. We want to experiment and find out what works and then go for what is fine, you know, bringing the people in and what resonates as an individual. For me, I'd kind of done that research, but on myself for face yoga. So, you know, I didn't dive straight into teacher training. I practiced face yoga over a number of months. I saw the changes in myself and I wanted to bring that to other people. Having done that, I then created, pretty much as soon as I qualified to teach, online course, which I believe in it. It's proven it works. And so for that, you know, I'm grateful that that's the case. I don't think it always is, but you know, I went in and I created this course and then I promoted it and I sold it. I sold it initially on, like, you know, a launch offer, and I got a decent uptake. You know, I think maybe it seemed decent to me. I got about 12 people buying my course. Yeah. So I was like, wow, this is amazing.
This is brilliant.
So I got these sales in and people were doing the course. They were giving me this amazing feedback. So really good feedback, which I've shared as well. And then I just kind of didn't know what to do next. And I, given that I also teach Pilates, I started to feel a little bit pulled in two different directions, and I had no clear path for face yoga. I had a clear path for Pilates, you know, teaching my classes, going about my, you know, weekly schedule. So I just needed, for my own sanity, to park face yoga for a little while, to pop it on the back burner. So yeah, that was when I came to you, and I just thought, I've got this thing, I've got it, I know it works, but it's just sitting there.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is a really common story, not just from your perspective, but I think others listening will think the same, that actually, you know, what we do in the Digital Course Creator is we go through a process of building a course, but that's not the only way to do it. Of course, anybody and many teachers do go out there and just create a course and sell it, and it's, and it works, and it works really, really well. What tends to happen, though, is that you then get to that point where, okay, you've got your 12 sales, you've had fast initial growth, and then it kind of stalls. And this is where the point you were at, where it's like, okay, that stopped growing. I've kind of exhausted my options with that. I don't really know where to take it yet next. So I will go and create something new. And that's what so often happens for so many experts. And it can work really well. There's no reason why you can't do that. But what I often say to people is that, you know, rather than creating something new, why don't we just grow the thing you've already got? Because actually the thing you already have is proven. You've got your testimonials, you've had people through it, you know it works, you love it. And actually the problem isn't that it doesn't work or you don't enjoy it anymore. The problem is that you just need to grow your audience, and we need to scale it. We need to figure out that process. And so what you did was you pivoted at that point, rather than moving forwards with it. But I think that's a really common response. And like you say as well, there's so many things you could do. And all experts listening are gonna be nodding their heads. You have so many ideas, and we all have a million ideas of things that we could be doing. And so it's really hard to focus on the one thing that actually is maybe the most challenging part, which is the scaling part. So it's tempting then to go back to the beginning and start something new, create something new, sell something new, get that kind of dopamine hit. The scaling bit is the tricky bit. And that's where most people, exactly like you did, go, okay, not quite sure what to do now, feeling a bit conflicted. I'll go back and go again, and we'll try again. Is that, would you say that kind of summarizes the
situation? Yes, I think roughly. Possibly also, I didn't really know that I wanted to scale it, but I didn't know that that was what I was looking to do. I just wanted to keep it going. Yeah. And I didn't even know how to do that. Yeah. I didn't know, you know, I'd kind of exhausted my audiences, done an offer. And then I was like, oh, so now how do I sell it at the price that it's worth? Because, you know, it's an investment and it's actually a really brilliant price for what it is. And I felt like, oh, I don't have this hook to bring people in that is price-based.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. And also at the same time, you know, I talked to people about it. Like you were saying, everyone I spoke to about it was so interested. People were, you know, contacting me about, you know, can we do something together? So I was getting this, you know, these collaborations in the background, and I ran with another local yoga teacher. We ran a retreat together. It sold out. We combined face yoga with women's holistic yoga and a sound bath, and it was fabulous. You know, really good feedback. Got sales from that.
Yeah,
all these little signs that, you know, things are it's looking good. But still, I just didn't know how to grow it. And then you popped up on my Instagram. So that's when this was before, sorry.
I know where we're up to. Yeah. And then the DCC.
You were already in my world. But the Instagram thing, when I saw you, I think because I'd already almost talked myself out of scaling face yoga, I then, how can I apply this elsewhere?
No, I think that's a really common position. And what I like that you've just said is exactly what a lot of people will be thinking is, scaling maybe isn't a word that resonates. Maybe it's you just wanted consistent sales. You just wanted people to be buying it on repeat and to actually, you know, be able to, consistently make some income from it and get it out into the world? And how do I get more people to find out about this? And, you know, so scaling is the word I use, but it's probably not the word that you were using in your head.
Yeah, I think at that point, no, but I mean, it definitely does resonate. And I think it is a good word for you to use.
Let's hope so. The podcast kind of relies on it.
yeah. But I just hadn't got to that.
No, I get it.
Yet. I was literally right at the beginning of everything.
Yeah. And yet you'd done a lot of the hard work. You know, you'd created this great program, which actually, so let's move on to talk about that, because the actual contents for the program hasn't changed, has it? It's still the program that you built the first time around. It's still great. We've got members in the accelerator that are going through it. It gets great results. It's fully endorsed by everyone that does it. I can wholeheartedly stand behind it. It is on my list. So what happened when you, so then you, we had a conversation and you joined the Scaling Wellness Accelerator back in September.
That's right.
And I remember our one-to-one, and we really focused on your messaging, didn't we?
Yes.
What were the changes that we made, or you made, to this product to kind of help you to sell it?
So I think we had our conversation about me joining the accelerator before the summer holidays. And then what's brilliant was that I could then spend my summer holidays using my learnings from the DCC to absolutely nail my niche. So, you know, we'd had a small chat about that. I then spent the whole summer, you know, even while I was on holiday, thinking about it every day, just making notes. So niche was really refined. And so I could come to you right at the beginning telling you, you know, this is my ideal client. I knew exactly who she was, is. And from that, we then created this really consistent messaging and clarified everything across all of my platforms. So started with the website, it was a little bit all over the place, drawing people's attention in too many different directions. So that was really streamlined. Social media, you know, the messaging through there became really streamlined. And I had already a lead magnet and nurture sequences. They were in place already. We went through those and just made sure, you know, they're talking to the right person. They're, you know, trying to generate a sale without pushing anybody into anything. You know, I don't think I was before anyway, but you know, it's always kind of there. And one of the biggest things for me was with my niche, you know, what I didn't want was to contribute to this kind of toxic anti-aging culture that is so prolific at the moment. That was a real block for me. I think maybe that's one of the reasons why I hadn't progressed, because I don't want to prey on people's insecurities.
Those are your exact words. I can remember that moment. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think at the same time, what's one of the big reasons why I do what I do is because I want to give people an alternative to some of these more invasive treatments. And I'm not, there's no judgment to anybody who chooses Botox, fillers, each to their own, absolutely. But I'm one of those people that I'm a bit scared. For me, it's not a route that I want to take. And more than that, I don't want my kids, I don't want my daughter to grow up thinking that is the natural next step for me. I'm 28, let's have a facelift. You know, this is actually things that are happening. And equally, I don't want my son to think, this is how people should look. I'm looking for somebody with, I don't know, a certain look. I do, you know, it's not about how we look. It's about bringing out the most of what we've got and the most vital person underneath, you know, and creating a healthy, active, nourished face.
Yeah. I really love that. And I really loved that conversation where we really got into the detail of this person. You know, this is, and actually we kind of used ourselves, didn't we? I know I really resonated with everything you were saying, was, you know, being surrounded by friends at this point where, you know, every night out is, you know, a certain amount of time spent talking about fillers and Botox and are we ready? Are we going to go for it? You know, and seeing people starting to go down that road and just feeling very kind of uncomfortable about that. And absolutely, your messaging completely resonated with me, that there are alternatives and it doesn't have to be the only way. And I think that's a really strong message. So you really ran with that. And I've loved watching you take that messaging and put it into everything that you've been doing. So since you've been in the accelerator, what has happened? Tell us about the kind of progress of this business.
Okay, so probably one of the biggest takeaways from me from the accelerator, other than, you know, niche refining, lead magnets, nurture sequences and all of that, is the systems and the processes that I've put in place. So for me, it's understanding the benefits of sharing as much as I can for free, you know, and I want that because I want people to try it and I want people to experience face yoga for themselves, see how it feels. So creating things like the workshops. So I ran a free workshop online, done one so far. They will be regular occurrences. And that was brilliant because then I got to be there in person, get people to, you know, talk to me, have this two-way interaction and teach a few exercises.
And you had a great response from that, didn't you? You had a 50% sales or something.
Yeah, 33%
conversion,
which was just, amazing.
We'll take
and I think
that.
One of the, so I did have within that, there were some of my Pilates people, they joined.
Yep.
And I think, you know, that's a positive because they do know me already. They do, they trust me, they like me, and they're buying from me. So I think if those people weren't, to me, that would be a bit of a red flag. You know, so yes, it's
absolutely
brilliant, but then I need to work on growing my audience more. And the steps are there in place. So I know exactly, I know how to do that now. I know how to take it forward. So we've got the free workshops that people can attend. I've got a freebie that people can then, you know, do at home whenever they like. It takes like less than 5 minutes. And so those are in place. And it's about repeating them consistently. And I think, you know, it's a bit like face yoga, you know, that repetition, consistency, and then you get the results at the end. I think as well, kind of looking at things as a CEO, which I think for a lot of self-employed movement teachers is quite hard because we are in the thick of it. We are rushing from class to class, from one to one, here and there and all over the place. And, you know, often the time you sit down and maybe have time to be this CEO, we've then got emails to respond to and questions about, you know, everything, class swaps, and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to do is stop being such a perfectionist, just get things out there because I do like things to be right. Doesn't matter anymore. I'm a recovering perfectionist. And it's just trying to think more strategically and more long term. So I think right at the start of the accelerator, we put in some 90-day goals. And I think, well, one of those I've already ticked off, which was, one was to reduce my evening working hours. And I think just having those long-term goals in your mind. So my goal, I think it was a 90-day goal, but for me, it was really having that done by next September when my son goes to secondary school. But just having those things in the forefront of your mind means that you then spot opportunities when they come up and you're ready to act on them. So, you know, for me, that was another teacher freeing up some of her time, wanting to take on more classes. I jumped, and that's happening now from January, where I've managed to drop an evening. Yeah, little things like that would make a huge, huge difference. And mindset is so big and a big part of the accelerator.
Oh, I love that. And I'm with you. Like, I do think we have to have a goal, and then we need a plan that supports that goal. And I think there's a few things you've said there. The first was around, you know, the people in your world doing your program. And I think often experts are so nervous about putting their products out to the people that they know, love, and that trust them the most, you know, and actually they are your kind of low hanging fruit. They are the people that you will make the early sales from. They're the ones that you can get the great testimonials from. Start this process, start the ball rolling, because it's a heavy boulder to push up the hill if you're not getting sort of fast, immediate sales. So I think that's been a really good strategy that you've used, where you've been unafraid and unapologetic about offering this to people in your world already that you know will benefit from it. You know, this is the other thing. When I remember really clearly you saying about you didn't want to prey on people's insecurities. That was a one that really stood out for me. And I think I did a Facebook or Instagram post about it, actually, if people scroll back. But the thing I loved about that comment was actually it's what you do is not about preying on insecurities. It's about offering a service to the people that want it. So when you're really clear on who you help, you're able to really effectively market to those people without preying on insecurities, but just answering the concerns that they already have. So I've really loved watching you do that. And I've loved watching you grow. And you've been an incredible asset to the accelerator because you are a busy working mum who is already running a full business, but is still making time to set those goals, implement the work, do the work, show up, take action, take big steps, take control of your mindset and really, you know, drive this forwards, knowing that it's a process and it is going to be over a course of, you know, a certain amount of time. But having that goal for September is huge, isn't it? Because that's going to be life changing for you and your family.
Yeah.
So I really love that.
It really is. Amazing. In fact, it was instigated by something Karen said on her podcast with you.
Was it?
Yeah, her kids are a little bit older than mine, and just knowing that the kids need you more when they come into secondary, and that evening is the time where maybe if they're going to talk to you, it's going to be then. So I just wanted to be around more. Mm. So yeah, that's one night of the week more.
Where there you go. I love that.
My kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I really love that. And that's definitely something that's motivated me as well for similar reasons, that there is that age, isn't it? Where they just need us. Okay. I've loved this. Thank you so much for being here, Charlotte. Thank you for sharing. To finish off, how would you feel about just telling the audience how your experience was in the accelerator and what your experience was like working with me? And then I'd love you to share where people can find you. So I'll prompt you for that again in a second.
Okay. So if you're thinking about joining the accelerator, I wouldn't hesitate. It's a very supportive, collaborative network of women, all held together by Caroline. It's like a big, lovely safety net that, let's think of it. Okay, this is just coming into my mind now. It's like a big safety net where you're caught in that net and then you bounce up. So everyone bounces up out of that net and they just, you know, flourish because we've got each other within that space. You know, everyone is in a similar situation, and everyone has their own expertise that they bring in from it, and help each other out. So there's always somebody that's been there that's, you know, that will help you or that you can help. And for me, one of the aspects of the accelerator that I really found valuable was the accountability. So throughout the week, you know, we have these check-ins, even if that's what feels quite small is on a Friday when we share our wins. And that's really big because, you know, you don't necessarily think you've progressed, but then each Friday, which comes around really, really fast, when you're just sharing the little wins, actually you realize some of them are pretty big and they're moving you forward. So it's that pace for me, the structure, the accountability is lovely. The away day also really adds to it because you get to see each other in person. And I think we already all felt like we knew each other. So it was just really nice to get to see each other, you know, face to face in person.
That was a great day, wasn't it?
Yeah, brilliant. Font of knowledge. So generous with your own expertise and with your background in wellness as well. It just, and with as being a Pilates teacher, it's invaluable because you really do understand what everybody's going through and how best to support them.
Thank you. That's so kind of you to say. And you're absolutely right. The way day was lovely. And I feel like I know you really well, just having worked with you on Zoom. But it's just so nice to be able to give someone a hug in real life, isn't it?
Certainly is.
So tell us where people, because I reckon, honestly, guys, this is going out on Monday. So before Christmas. If you are interested in investing in the Face Yoga program, or if you would like to try it, where can people find details on how they can connect with you and what first steps can they take?
So you can find me on Instagram. My handle is at authentic.face.yoga. And my website is authenticfaceyoga.com. Either of those places are a great place to start. You'll spot really easily, thanks to Caroline, where my little freebie is. So what I offer out is one of the exercises from the first week of my program. It's one of the most powerful exercises, and it's going to, you know, activate all of the muscles of your face. So you can really start to feel how it works to do effective face yoga. So that's where you can find me. If you go to my website, then you can have a look all about my program. So it's a 5-week structured face yoga program, and we follow a really a very, very structured routine so that you activate the muscles of your face in a really specific order. So starting with the cranial muscles, those large heavy muscles, we lift those, we create space for the smaller muscles underneath, and then in the final weeks start to work the really delicate muscles around the eyes. So yeah, there's a step-by-step process. It's there for a reason. And yeah, I'd love for people to give it a try.
Yeah, I love that. And just to give some clarity to this for the audience listening, a couple of the ladies in the accelerator have done just the freebie and have been in the chat saying how challenging it is and what an impact it's making. And so I think if you're starting anyway, just start with that one session, because it's from what I've been reading in the group, it's really powerful, and it's definitely a freebie that is worth something. So I'd encourage you all to start there, and I will of course link it up in the show notes. Charlotte, thank you so much for being here. As always, it's just been a complete joy to work with you. And I know I've said it already, but it's so nice to work with people. And I attract these people, to be fair. You know, the messaging brings you guys in. Most of you are the same, but you are a doer. You are so capable. You're, you know, really empathetic to your audience, a brilliant CEO of your business. And I really cannot wait to see what's going to come next for you in this next year. And I will be 100% cheering you on from the sidelines and here to help in any way I can. So it's been such a joy. Thank you for being here, and thank you
so
for being
much, Caroline,
part of my world.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Oh, total pleasure.
Right, thanks.
There we go. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling Wellness. If you found today's episode valuable, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me over on Instagram at Caroline Kopp and drop me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Or if you know a friend or colleague in wellness who would find this podcast useful, I'd love you to share this episode with them, or maybe tag it in your socials. It might be just what they need to hear today as well. And finally, if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please rate and review. It helps more wellness professionals like you to discover the show, and ultimately allows us as a community to grow the wellness message and help more people. So until next time, remember, the problem you solve for your clients still exists. So keep sharing your wellness message.